About efforts here in Portland.
Yeah, we hope to see you all out on February 13th at City Hall from noon to 1. That's International Divestment Day. We're going to be telling the city of Portland, divest from fossil fuels and don't invest further in fossil fuels. That's February 13th from noon to 1 at City Hall. And information about that is on the 350 PDX website.
And how to get in touch with Rising Tide?
You can email us at info@portlandrisingtide.org or visit portlandrisingtide.org.
And all this will be up on our website, kboo.fm. Under this date, this program, Wednesday Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Paul Rowland, and stay tuned for more great programming here on KBOO.
What I want to know is where we're going to go when the rain don't make our garden grow and the soil's too dry for our seeds to sow. Fire and you're sure to burn. A one-way ticket with a no return. Cause where we gonna go? Well, I don't know.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 9th Annual Youth Summit, February 6th and 7th, at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club. With the theme, If Not You, Then Who? Be the Change. The Youth Summit provides mentorship, encouragement, and training opportunities for young people and adults of all ethnicities in the Portland area to cultivate their budding leadership and organizing skills. The summit also showcases youth talent with prizes for those having the courage to perform. Again, that's the 9th Annual Portland Youth Summit, February 6th and 7th, at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club, 5250 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bar Carlo, located at 6433 Southeast Foster, and they serve a bistro-inspired menu weekend brunch with vegan and vegetarian options. Lunch was provided by Lair Hill Bistro, located at 2823 Southwest 1st Avenue. Serving breakfast, lunch, dinner, and catering for the past 18 years, they also have live music on Thursdays and Fridays. More info at their Facebook page. Dinner was provided by Porque No Taqueria, with two locations, one at 3524 North Mississippi, and at 4635 Southeast Hawthorne, serving lunch and dinner made from locally grown and produced ingredients.
And good morning. Welcome to KBOO Portland. Coming up at 10 this morning, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein, today featuring the Electronic Intifada with Nora Barros-Friedman and correspondent Kevin Pina on Haiti. And at 11, it's The Bike Show, bringing you news and views of cycling in Portland and beyond. Up next on Political Perspectives, we're going to hear from Scott Horton, author of Lords of Secrecy, The National Security Elite and America's Stealth Warfare. This is Kathleen Stevenson for Political Perspectives. My guest is Scott Horton. He is contributing editor at Harper's Magazine and a recipient of the National Magazine Award for Reporting for his writing on law and national security issues. He lectures at Columbia Law School and practices law. His new book is Lords of Secrecy, The National Security Elite and America's Stealth Warfare. Jeremy Scahill describes the book as a brilliantly devastating expose of the shadow government that runs U.S. national security policy. Scott Horton, thanks very much for being on KBOO.
It's great to be with you.
Let's talk about the title first. Who are the Lords of Secrecy, and why did you choose to call them that?
We picked the name Lords of Secrecy to stress the fact that these are not democratically elected officials, and they're not accountable. In fact, they're surrounded by positively medieval ideas of power. And who are they? The simple definition would be they are the senior figures in the nation's defense and intelligence communities who have the power to create secrets under federal law, and they use that power to enhance their own position in the Washington bureaucracy. And if we have to just think of one single figure who best summarizes everything a Lord of Secrecy aspires to, then that's definitely Richard Bruce Cheney, the former vice president, who, of course, spent a great deal of his career atop the national security establishment, long time as the Secretary of Defense. And he's a man who was obsessed by secrets and by classifications. And his biographer, Bart Gellman, in the book Angler, discloses that he even invented his own security classifications and his own stamps for documents. But he used secrecy to create an aura of unique knowledge, which he then used to sell the American public on certain ideas, like invading Iraq. You'll recall that that Dick Cheney told us all that he had intelligence that made clear that Saddam Hussein was aligned with al-Qaeda and that he was building weapons of mass destruction. And, of course, it subsequently turned out that there was never any such intelligence.
Can you talk a little bit about the history of the development of these elites? You say that America has changed the way it makes national security decisions over time. Talk about what's happened and why that happened.
That's right. So we've had, you know, the evolution of these elites over our history, but they really got the launching point is really at the end of World War II in 1947, when the National Security Act was put in place, which created the Pentagon and created the CIA, and the process of creating and keeping vast amounts of secrets apart from wartime needs really dates back to that period. And it's had many ups and downs since. You know, these elites are responsible largely for the Vietnam War. They wanted to pursue that without congressional discussion, deliberation, and approval. They got quite a bit of blowback from that. But subsequently, their power, their position, their budgets have grown exponentially. In fact, you would have thought that with the end of the Cold War, the money available to them, the number of personnel, and the number of secrets would have been pared back. In fact, almost every expert thought that was going to happen. But lo and behold, no. Since the end of the Cold War, things have exploded. We actually spend vastly more money on secrets and on the intelligence community in particular since, and the creation of secrets has exploded dramatically compared to the Cold War period.
And what's the role of 9/11 in that history?
9/11 has, I think, been it's provided the substitute pretext for all of this from the Cold War. So, of course, during the Cold War, the nation did face an existential threat, from having enemies that had an enormous nuclear arsenal that could destroy the world. Now, after 9/11, we're not dealing with sophisticated enemies. We're not dealing with enemies with access to nuclear weapons or even really weapons of mass destruction. But nevertheless, they have had sufficient emotional cachet to warrant grave changes. And I argue in my book that that the real threat to American democracy has never come from these terrorist groups. The real threat from American democracy has come from our own national security establishment and its usurpation of the decision-making authority surrounding national security issues from the people.
And talk about how decisions on war and peace should be made in a democracy.
Well, there are many different ways that it can occur, but I would say going back to the beginning, going back to ancient Greece even, the founding justification for having democratic society was always to give the people a say about issues of war and peace. So I think we can say that if a nation may call itself democracy, almost every nation in the world, maybe except the Vatican, today calls itself a democracy. But the real test of whether they're a democracy is whether the people have some important role of say-so when the country goes to war. So you have many different approaches to that. And the U.S., in our constitutional system, we've never had a really clear definition of how all this is supposed to work. But it's clear that in any meaningful, sustained, long-term commitment of forces overseas, there's supposed to be a public deliberation about these things and decision-taking in Congress to support it, and that the executive is supposed to put forward his plans or his proposals and sell them to the public. And that's the way things, by and large, have functioned until recent years, and now we see a pretty sharp departure from that model. And I look specifically at the conflict in Libya in 2011 as a great example of how we've moved away from it. You know, Barack Obama didn't give an Oval Office speech, didn't really even want the public to talk about it. He just gave the directions for the bombing and deployment of smart bombs and drones in Libya in a sustained military campaign that he then told Congress wasn't a war, wasn't even hostilities, so you have nothing to say about this.
And what did Congress, how did they respond in that case?
They responded with a lot of rhetoric. So, you had individual members of Congress in the House and the Senate complaining about what happened, saying that they were not sufficiently informed. But what Congress did not do is actually adopt specific resolutions or acts approving or disapproving the engagement in Libya. So it failed to protect its own position under the War Powers Resolution.
And why?
I think that's largely because of political immaturity in the Congress. We've got a lot of people who understand how to score points on the political stage, but don't take seriously the responsibility of governance and the responsibility that goes with making these decisions. And that's really on both sides of the political aisle, but it's particularly with the Republicans, who they love to carp and complain, but they don't like to make decisions.
And how about the press, who's another player in this whole arena? How about their reaction during that time?
The press, should play an important role throughout this in informing the public and providing a forum for debate and discussion, and for fueling congressional action, but their role is weak and is historically growing weaker. The press is, however, the key offset to government claims of secrecy. So where the government claims secrecy and keeps information out of the public sector, and therefore creates a weak basis for any sort of discussion of these matters, the press, by doing detailed reporting, including of leaks, can fill in the gap.
This is Kathleen Stevenson for Political Perspectives. I'm speaking with Scott Horton about his new book, The Lords of Secrecy, The National Security State and America's Stealth Warfare. We are joined now by Liz and Justin, who are going to let us know how to support KBOO Radio during the first day of our winter membership drive.
And good morning and welcome to the first day of KBOO's Winter Membership Drive 2015. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Justin, and I'm joined by Liz, and we're asking you just now to take a brief moment out of your busy day and start or renew your membership to the mighty 90.7. It's as easy as picking up the phone and calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. We are listening to Scott Horton talking about his book, Lords of Secrecy. And for a $60 gift, if you could start that today, that's just $5 a month. We can send you a copy of that book when you call 877-500-5266 and help us make that $500 goal for this hour. I just wanted to mention, there's weapons of mass destruction and there's weapons of mass distraction, because the real threat to democracy is ignorance and usurpation of the people's airwaves. And that makes KBOO the antidote. We're asking you to call right now and start or renew your membership. 877 877- 800-500-KBOO.
That's right, Justin. I think I ought to just point out that the diabolical laugh does not come free with the book, but you know, you're well more than welcome to give it anytime you like. Once again, give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go online at KBOO.FM. Click on the little jar in the upper right-hand corner. Become a member right now. Support your resource, your community radio station that brings you information that you will not and cannot find, frankly, anywhere else, certainly not on TV, not in print media, and frankly, not even online, because there's so much noise online, like Justin was mentioning, about the mass distraction. We are not a distraction here at KBOO. We are providing you really important information that you need to know to go about your day. But in addition to all the news and public affairs that you enjoy, we provide you a world of other programs. We provide music, we provide thought, we provide theater, we provide discussions about arts and all kinds of other things. But right now, we're providing you information that you need to know. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Of course, the media landscape has changed an awful lot since June 1968, but our mission here is doing what is left undone. So while we know that you savvy listeners have many choices and are getting your news and information and music from all different sources, we urge you to remember that we have a dedication to doing what is left undone, to covering the neglected, the controversial, the unpopular, and the underserved. And so no matter how many choices you're using for your information and entertainment, please make sure that KBOO stays on that list. Online at kboo.fm, you can make a secure donation there, or you can pick up the phone and give us a ringy-dingy right now, toll-free from anywhere in North America, 877-500-5266.
Call now.
I'm speaking with Scott Horton about his new book, Lords of Secrecy, The National Security Elite and America's Stealth Warfare. You talk about some policies that have been developed by the national security elites to protect themselves from a backlash regarding this secrecy. Over time, some trends, I'm thinking of things like the volunteer army. Can you talk about the various aspects of that?
Well, that's right. I mean, as I mentioned before, the Vietnam War, this was the first conflict that was led and directed by these new national security elites. This is the David Halberstam, best and the brightest, who decided that the U.S. needed to engage in Vietnam, decided to ramp things up, considered public debate and deliberation and congressional action a nuisance that they really didn't want to be involved with the exception of George Ball, who said that this was a mistake at the outset and we should be involved. So, we went into Vietnam. We had this experience. There was never really a public debate or formation of a public position behind the war effort at the outset, nor in Congress. There was only the Tonkin Gulf Resolution, which we subsequently learned as a result of a later commission of inquiry, was fueled by false information that had been provided by the Pentagon. There was a huge blowback for the Vietnam War. This was viewed as, certainly one of the most unsuccessful foreign military adventures in the nation's history. And I think the national security elites were very concerned about what steps they could take to avoid this sort of unpleasant experience that came from the functioning of democracy and the American voters saying no to what they were doing. And there were a whole series of steps that were taken. The first of them was eliminating the draft. So we moved to a volunteer army. Then we moved to a higher reliance on military contractors. And there was a heavy focus on robotic warfare that reduces ultimately almost entirely the risk that American service personnel will be wounded or die in certain kinds of conflicts, at least. And all this was done with the understanding that the American public gets worked up and gets very concerned when people's brothers and sisters and fathers and grandfathers and uncles put their lives at risk on a field of battle. That's when you get the public deeply engaged in these issues. So when you have only volunteer military, usually taken from the margins of society, ex-urban areas, disproportionately from minorities. There's much less of a political impact. And when we move to contractors, and there's no reporting of contractor casualties, less still. And when we move to robotic warfare, it just seems to disappear. In fact, we had a memorandum, an opinion given by the Department of Justice, April 1, 2011, that remarks in passing that, well, you know, if there's no real risk of any Americans being killed here, the American public and the Congress really don't have a legitimate interest in forming opinions and participating in the decision to commit.
At the same time, there is the development of universal surveillance. Can you talk about that, how that plays into this whole development of the national security elites and their power?
That's the other side of the same thing, is the development of hitherto unprecedented capacities to spy, capacities that are actually in excess of what is discussed in George Orwell's 1984. And that came with smartphone technology, for instance, and the internet, and ingenious means being created to collect everything that passed in communication using these media, and using things like smartphones to track the movement of people, to monitor their conversations even when the phones are off, and so forth. So we found ourselves in a situation after 9/11 where Washington simply couldn't say no to the NSA and the CIA whenever they asked for something, and said yes to many things that plainly weren't legal under American law. And in fact, that includes the PRISM program, which President Obama's own Civil Liberties Oversight Committee said probably was not legal. I think you can stretch probably. I mean, clearly is not legal. But nevertheless, was put into place with opinions of many, many national security lawyers saying everything was fine. And, you know, that has created this huge reservoir of intelligence. And this has many impacts also on our operation as a democracy. In particular, we've had sociological studies done going back to the 1970s, particularly important set of experiments done at Stanford University, that show when people know that they're subjected to surveillance, they're very reluctant to be critical of their government, and they're very reluctant to manifest any critical views in any way. So this is a narcotic to suppress democracy effectively.
I'm speaking with Scott Horton about his new book, Lords of Secrecy, The National Security Elite and America's Stealth Warfare. This is Political Perspectives. I'm Kathleen Stevenson. We are joined now by Liz and Justin, who are going to let us know how to support KBOO Radio during the first day of our winter membership drive.
Thanks, Kathleen. And the way you do that is by picking up the phone right now and calling us at 877-500-5266. Or if you're not near a phone or not safe to call us right now, go online at kboo.fm. You can reach us anywhere on planet Earth that way. And we love to hear from people who listen to us from all over, because, of course, we do stream our shows live. You can listen to everything that we broadcast live. You can also listen to archived editions of everything that we produce on this your community radio station. 877-500-5266. You're listening to Scott Horton, a human rights activist and attorney, author of Lords of Secrecy. And for a $60 membership, you can receive a copy of his book, Lords of Secrecy, National Security Elite and America's Stealth Warfare. Cue the diabolical laugh, Justin. Just for $60, minimum pledge. And, you know, if you're thinking to yourself, I'd really like that book, but I don't have 60 bucks on me right now, fear not. If all you have is $5, you can make a continuing membership monthly deduction at $5 a month. Pick up your phone right now and talk to our phone volunteers. They'll be happy to talk to you about all the ways that you can become a member. It is so much easier than you think. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
When I say that KBOO is an antidote, this is exactly what I'm talking about, that we are trying to battle against the trends of social control that in fact, media and spying is creating both. They are trimming off the highs and lows on the right side of the dial. And you tuned away from the shrieking heads a long time ago. And you tune into KBOO amongst your many choices precisely because you know you're getting unfiltered, unfettered access to real information made by real people with real voices. And that's what we're asking you to support. We're not even as concerned with how much money you choose to donate, but that you stand up and be counted and start or renew that monthly deduction. Maybe that's 1 hour of your wages each month. You make $10 an hour. How about one of those hours for the antidote to social control, the antidote to weapons of mass distraction? You can call us right now and do that at 877-500-5266. And as Liz says, if you could start that $5 monthly deduction, we will send you a copy of Lords of Secrecy. Well, I guess I better get used to that. What I'm asking you to think about, I think maybe we'll move on from that now because it's a little bit distracting. But what I'm asking you to think about is what life would be like if you didn't have people like Kathleen Stevenson interviewing Scott Horton, if you didn't have all of the voices here making real radio for real people, for your lives. Please consider, we're not going anywhere, but imagine how much stronger we can be with you remembering how important an independent community radio station is in your community. Won't you do that right now? KBOO.FM or call us toll-free from anywhere in North America, 877-500-5266.
We have some people to thank who have all just become new members or renewed their membership. Thanks to Richard, a new member in Fairview, Oregon. Let's hear it for Richard. Woo!
Nice. That's
and
good.
Jasmine renewing her membership in Northeast. Woo! And Jinx renewing his membership in Southeast Portland. Let's hear it for Jinx. Yes, we would love to hear your name on the radio. We would love to say your name on the radio and cheer for you also. And, you know, all you need to do is pick up that phone and we'll be happy to give you your 2 minutes of fame. 877-500-5266.
And one of our donors called in and said that they believe that KBOO is the most honest, real force in Portland, along with Street Roots. And we really appreciate that. And wow, we're asking everyone within earshot to remember the honesty and the real force that real voices make by being on the people's airways. We're asking you to ensure access and training and programming that goes out over our airwaves, folks. Please don't take that for granted when you're moving to your phone to call 877-500-5266. It's hard for me to imagine more important information than the ways in which spying on the American people is leading to social control. And I dare say you're not getting that from other media sources. So please make sure to put a price on it. The price you put on it is yours. But please, most of you have been listening for a long time and you know this. If we don't do it, it doesn't get done. So please pick up your phone right now, 877-500-5266. And we're going to get someone to answer that phone real quick right here. You can do that online at kboo.fm or call 877-500-5266.
That's right. And it's important to remember that when we say our airwaves, we mean you. Your airwaves, our the collective. This is your community radio station. This is an invaluable resource. It's been going now for 47 years, and we want it to go for at least another 47 more, and we can't make that happen without your help. So now is the time, just now before we get back to Scott Horton and the Lords of Secrecy, now's the time to pick up that phone, 877-500-5266, or go online at kboo.fm, and thank you so much.
I'm speaking with Scott Horton about his new book, Lords of Secrecy. I wanted to talk some about secrecy itself. You mentioned that under surveillance, people are less inclined to be critical of their government. What are some of the aspects of secrecy in a government, in a bureaucracy, that are so dangerous to democracy?
Well, a lot of it goes back to sociological research that was done in the 19th and early 20th centuries, particularly by the most famous sociologist of all time, Max Weber, who spent much of his career studying the way bureaucracies behave. And he said that, you know, bureaucracies love secrecy. And when they get their hands on the right to create secrets, they use it sometimes for entirely appropriate purposes, military secrecy or diplomatic secrecy or protecting the privacy rights of individual citizens. But they also use it constantly for purposes that are not proper. So that's particularly to protect their acts and recommendations from criticism, also to cover up their mistakes and errors, their incompetence, and finally to cover up criminality. One thing you could see over history is that a bureaucracy would use the power of secrets to gain an advantage over competing bureaucracies. The bureaucracy that had the power to create secrets would, over time, get a bigger budget, have more employment lines, and acquire more power, and ultimately comes to challenge democratic institutions. So secrecy has a heavily coercive effect on democracy, and ultimately it produces a government that is really, really dumb. Not only dumb, but also corrupt and sometimes venal and criminal. So you have to have checks against secrecy to prevent these problems that really thrive in the matrix of secrecy. And that could be oversight from Congress, or it could be exposure in the press. It could be court actions. It could be inspector generals' examinations and reports. So you have a number of different tools that can be used. But unless those tools exist and they're being deployed all the time, where there's secrets, there's going to be huge problems.
And how does secrecy add to or create dumbness?
Because people rise to the top of bureaucracies frequently not because they're brilliant and do good work, but because they're secret. So if they can put a secret stamp on their work, they may make horrible mistakes and errors, but their work is not exposed to review by people who may understand the mistakes that have occurred. And then the people who have inferior credentials rise to the top. So this is something that Max Weber documented as having happened, particularly in the military establishment in Germany during World War I. And in my book, I say, you know, if you look at his premise and we apply it to what happened in the CIA over the last 15 years, we see plenty of examples of exactly the same thing. And I give four specific cases where individuals rose to the pinnacle of power in the CIA, individuals who were corrupt, incompetent, engaged in criminal acts, had horribly underperformed as lower-level people, but nevertheless came to the top, and largely that's because of secrecy, because people who would have been in a position to stop their rise simply didn't know about anything they had done, didn't know about their mistakes, and the leadership in the agency didn't want anyone to know about it.
One section of your book talks about the rise of covert operations. Covert operations, basically, as the national security experts' way of waging war. Can you talk about that?
That's you know, the one of the fundamental distinctions that was made in 1947 had to do with what was going to be intelligence gathering and analysis. On one hand, that would be with the CIA, and what would be military operations that would be with the Department of Defense. And it said specifically military operations will not be waged by the CIA. That's strictly a DOD function. But what we see right now is that the CIA has its own army, it has its own air force, and it wages long-term wars. And a great example of that is this drone war that's been going on for 10 years in Pakistan, where we've had, you know, 400 strikes, probably between 3,000 and 4,000 casualties emerging from it. And that has been, the national security lawyers have been telling Washington that is just a series of covert actions, each of which has been authorized by the president. I mean, when we pull back and look at it, it's a war. You know, covert action, that's a one-off thing. You go do something, you strike, you kill a Mujahideen leader, fine, right? But when you do that over 10 years and you have 400, 500, 600 separate strikes, that's a military campaign. So the bottom line is the CIA shouldn't be doing it, but it is. And that's largely because nobody can say no to the CIA today. It's not possible. If you do say no, you lose your job.
What is the relationship between the executive, between President Obama and the elites in this case? How do they serve each other, I guess, is what I'm asking.
That is one of the really puzzling questions at the end, because if we look at Barack Obama as a candidate in 2008, he said the right things. I mean, you know, he gave an interview to Charlie Savage in which he said, I would not go bomber in without consulting Congress. He raised real concerns about broad surveillance. He raised concerns about a lot of these specific issues. But Barack Obama, as president, has essentially had the national security establishment on autopilot. They do what they want to do. Their recommendations are very, very rarely ever rejected. Their advice is pretty much always followed. And you can see that summed up in this core relationship between President Obama and John O. Brennan, which has come much more to the fore in the last couple of weeks with the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence's torture report, which, you know, Brennan battled for many, many years. And Obama, when push came to shove, between the senators who did the report and John O. Brennan, who wanted to block it completely, there's just no ambiguity about it anymore. He sided with Brennan and with the CIA. So the report finally got out and finally got published, but it was only after there were intense redactions that were carried out, and Obama allowed them to stretch the process out for 6 years.
And you mentioned the use of drones and how important they've become, and especially sustaining covert military campaigns. Why do drones need to be so secret?
That's a very good question. They don't have to be so secret, but basically because the CIA has a drone force and because the CIA can only act if there is a presidential determination of covertness, that is, that it's secret, therefore they are secret. So, and this is the first time in the country's history we have had a state-of-the-art weapon system that is not controlled by the Pentagon, that's controlled by the CIA instead. So we've got some pretty huge issues surrounding all of this. But now again, we almost never have any discussion of these issues. We have no discussion of these issues because it's secret. So, you know, an academic or somebody on the outside can say something. It's very difficult for anybody in the government to even discuss it. The instant they open their mouths about it, they'll be accused of breaching the secrecy of these dealings.
And that brings us to the whole issue of whistleblowers and what you describe as the war on whistleblowers. Let's talk a little bit about the history of whistleblowers, because you describe a change in how whistleblowers are dealt with by the government.
That's right. I mean, we've had whistleblowers as long as we've been a country. Going back to the days of the Revolution, there were whistleblowers leaking government secrets. There were almost never any criminal prosecutions of them. We got, you know, the vehicle that's used now called the Espionage Act of 1917 was put forward by Woodrow Wilson. And yet if we look at all the prosecutions of whistleblowers under this act from Woodrow Wilson to Barack Obama, we find that there are three times more prosecutions under Barack Obama than all prior presidents combined. So that's shows you that there is a rapid acceleration in this process. And it is being used to intimidate people who have access to secrets from sharing them with reporters or making them available to the public. So all these Espionage Act prosecutions have nothing whatsoever to do with espionage. I mean, that's ridiculous. They are about letting the American people know about something that their government is doing. And frequently, it's letting the American people know something that everybody else in the world already knows. Frequently, certainly U.S. enemies know all about this. It's no secret from them. And even publics in many parts of the world know about these projects, including the drone warfare. So if we look at reporting around the world on drone activities in Pakistan, you're going to find that about the least well-informed public in the world about the drone war is the U.S. public.
Why this intensification of demonizing of whistleblowers at this time?
It's you know, it's not President Obama doing it, I don't think. It's the Lords of Secrecy doing it. And I explain in my book exactly how they have managed this. And it's largely a result of the fact that previously the Department of Justice exercised independent judgment about which cases to prosecute, and it almost always declined prosecution. In fact, I interviewed a former Deputy Attorney General, my mentor, Harold R. Tyler, who described to me exactly how these cases were handled during the Ford administration and why they were constantly besieged by the NSA and CIA with requests to bring prosecutions, and they constantly said no, because that's our political culture. I mean, we have leaks. It's published in the papers. It's part of our political system. We don't publish these cases, even though in some rare circumstances we might. And what's changed now is that we created something called the National Security Division at the Justice Department, which is a private law firm for the CIA and NSA. And they do what the heads of the CIA and NSA want them to do, and they want them to bring these prosecutions, so that's exactly what they're doing. So it is a failure of independent judgment by the prosecutors. It's a weakening of the Department of Justice.
I'm speaking with Scott Horton. The title of his new book is Lords of Secrecy. This is Political Perspectives. I'm Kathleen Stevenson. Another aspect of that area is the number of people, the number of Americans who now hold top secret clearance that you talk about, and what that means in the whole scheme of things, how that affects our government and our democracy. Can you talk about that?
Well, that's right. I mean, so today we have roughly 5 million people who have top secret, who have secret clearance, and we've got about as many people as live in Washington, D.C., who have top secret clearance. And that means that there are an absolutely extraordinary number of people who have access to these secrets. So one of the fundamental problems is you can't give so many people clearance and authority to examine secrets and expect lots of secrets to be kept, particularly when you create centralized databases with all these secrets. So I think we see in both the Snowden case and the WikiLeaks diplomatic cables cases the proof of that. And I think, you know, one of the fundamental problems we've got with secrecy is we need to, it's not that we shouldn't have secrets, you do have a legitimate need for secrets, but you need to radically reduce the number of secrets that you have and reduce the number of people who have access to these secrets so that you can actually keep the important secrets you need to keep. And that's an exercise that the government simply has got to go through and is not going through it in any meaningful way. Instead, you know, we have not only government employees, now we extend to enormous numbers of private contractors the right to have access to these secrets, which in my view is pretty outrageous.
So then you have just many more possibilities for the leaking of the things that are supposed to be so secret.
And you see access to secrets and the leaking of secrets being used for commercial purposes. So we've had a whole series of litigations recently in which corporations who are found to have been engaged in fraud or corruption or criminal wrongdoing say to the U.S. government, oh my goodness, well, if you prosecute us or you pursue these claims, we will just have to disclose certain secret information in the course of our defense. This is what's called gray mail. And this is going on constantly right now, and shockingly. So it shows, you know, when you give private companies access to these secrets, they will use them against the interests of the government and the people of the United States, and they do all the time.
You are listening to Political Perspectives on KBOO Portland. I'm Kathleen Stevenson, and my guest is Scott Horton, author of The Lords of Secrecy, The National Security State, and America's Stealth Warfare, which is available to you when you make your pledge of support to KBOO. And now we're joined by Liz and Justin, who can tell you how you can do that.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. And it is no secret that KBOO is the only station bringing you this kind of information, and we're asking you to put a small price on it. The amount that you choose is up to you, though if you could start a monthly deduction for a modest $5 a month, we can send you a copy of Scott Horton's Lords of Secrecy. It's as simple as picking up your phone and calling us at toll-free 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. Allow me to extend our gratitude to Mark, who is a new monthly member in Portland, doing that monthly deduction. Thank you so much, Mark. And Annie in Camas, Washington, renewed. Thank you so much. Annie says it's her lifeline. It has everything. And we certainly appreciate that. And we hope that the rest of you in Radio Land are listening right now and say, you know, this is really incredible information that we're getting. For example, gray mailing. I hadn't heard the term, but this is a fairly new concept, which is fascinating. All the different ways your government is exercising social control, and you don't even know it until you listen to KBOO. Toll free, 877-500-5266.
That's right. And, you know, I know this is the first day of the membership drive and it's 2 weeks long and you're probably thinking, oh, I'll get to it eventually. I just want to put some numbers in your head. We have 8 full-time staff here at KBOO. We have more than 500 volunteers and we have 45,000 listeners approximately. But we only have 4,900 members who are listeners who are actually members. So that's a ratio, I mean, my math's not great, but it's about 1 in 10, sort of, kind of. You know, if we could just raise that ratio to 2 in 10, we could do so much better in bringing you the kind of news and information that you've come to count on. 1-877-500-5266. You know, Portland is a great mecca for radio listening, for public radio listening of all kinds, whether you're listening to community radio like KBOO or another kind of public radio. But there's a high ratio of people who listen to radio here as opposed to other parts of the country. Unfortunately, that doesn't necessarily always translate into people who step up and support what they're listening to. We care about this information, and we know that you care about it because you're listening to it right now, but it cannot happen without your financial support. So take a moment, 877-500-5266, or go online, kboo.fm, and put your money where your values are. It's really important that we hear from you. Don't wait till the end of the drive. Get us off to a good start. We have a goal for this hour of $500. We've made almost half that goal. We just need another $260, and Justin's going to tell us how that breaks down.
Well, what I'm going to say is that there are more copies of Lords of Secrecy by Scott Horton, and 4 of you starting or renewing that membership at the $60 level would get us awfully darn close. 4 of you doing $60 or more as a monthly deduction, that's a modest $5 a month. Even those of us who are not cash rich can usually find $5 a month, and we're asking you to call right now at 877-500-KBOO, because as Liz says, if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. If we don't do it, it doesn't get done. We're bringing this information to the whole world, and we're asking you to help us do it. You can do it online right now at kboo.fm, or call us and give us the real music, which is the ringy dingy, 877-500-KBOO.
Thanks for your support.
I'm speaking with Scott Horton about his new book, The Lords of Secrecy, The National Security State and America's Stealth Warfare. You quote James Madison a number of times in the book, James Madison on war. He said a continuous, or I'm paraphrasing probably, but continuous state of war is poisonous to democracy. How have we seen that particular element played out since this continuous state of war that we're sort of in, related to all these covert operations and this secret national elites?
Well, that, I think, is an essential thing. I mean, Madison wasn't the only one of the founding fathers who believed that. In fact, you look at most of the founding fathers were absolutely convinced, and this is based on having read, you know, classical literature and Montesquieu, that if you had this war machine, this big war machine, and you were constantly involved in war, there was very little chance you would be able to survive as a democratic state. And that's because of the teachings of classical philosophers that there was a sort of cycle, and democracies deteriorate into tyrannical government or oligarchy when they are too long engaged in warfare. And this is a premise that pretty much all the founding fathers accepted. And I think what we see in the United States show it's correct. And we see that dilemma coming about in the United States right now, where we have an ever larger and more secretive national security apparatus, and it is arrogating to itself much of the decision-making power that properly belongs to the people in a democracy. As a result, the people know less, the people are involved in less, the country over time ceases actually to be a democracy at all.
And what do you expect in the future for the Lords of Secrecy? What can we expect from them in the future, given what's happened so far?
I think we see all the trends well established right now, and I think they have lots of allies in Congress and everywhere else. But in particular, we can focus on Dwight David Eisenhower's farewell speech, where he warned America to beware of the rise of a military-industrial complex that would stop the process of fair democratic discussion and deliberation about military matters. And I think at the time he said that, democracy was in pretty good shape in the United States, and there really was no immediate prospect of the sort of grim picture that he painted there. But if we jump forward to today, I think Ike's prescription is right on the money. And if we look at, the couple of key votes that have occurred in Congress surrounding, let's say, the NSA PRISM program, for instance, there was a measure put forward in the House of Representatives to stop it. And that vote, the Congress split right down the middle on that vote, with roughly half the Democrats and half the Republicans being on either side. So it was not a partisan matter at all. But what allowed you to predict exactly how members of Congress were going to vote was how much money they took from the defense and intelligence communities, from the contractors. Mm-hmm. So those who took substantial campaign contributions all voted to support the NSA.
How about the area of classification? What could be done there to make that less problematic?
Well, I think there are definitely some areas where there just shouldn't be secrets. I mean, one of these is law. I mean, there can't be secret law, and yet we have the Justice Department continuing to crank it out all the time. We should also have a very firm principle that, when secrets are put out there, they're published, they appear in libraries, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. That's over. It's just public. And I think in other areas, we should have a very careful weighing to be sure that the public has enough information about these things, even why some secrets have to be preserved, but there should be enough information so that the public can have a meaningful discussion on a policy level about areas of vital interest. And I think in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the U.S. government did a really pretty good job of that. But this has just fallen apart in the last 15 years. It's not happening anymore, and that's largely because the Lords of Secrecy don't want the public involved, and they don't want the public to be informed. So there's just got to be a challenge against this wall of secrecy. And effectively, the only way we can see a breaching it is with whistleblowers. It's people like Edward Snowden.
You are listening to Political Perspectives on KBOO Portland. I'm Kathleen Stevenson, and my guest is Scott Horton, author of The Lords of Secrecy, The National Security State, and America's Stealth Warfare, which is available to you when you make your pledge of support to KBOO. And now we're joined by Liz and Justin, who can tell you how you can do that.
That's right, Kathleen. Thanks. And you can do that by picking up your phone and calling 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm. We're winding down the hour. We're still a little ways toward our goal, and we really want to be able to make that goal. And speaking of that goal, we'd like to thank Reiner renewing.
Actually Reiner. He's
Reiner,
a dear friend to KBOO.
Reiner renewing in Portland. Thank you, Reiner, for your renewal. And thank you to all of you who have become new members or renewed so far. But we still need to hear from about three more of you to get to our goal at the $60 level. So three more members at the $60 level. That's $5 a month. You can pick up a copy of Scott Horton's book, Lords of Secrecy. What's not to like? It's a win-win. 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM.
Never have such modest contributions amounted to such great achievements. We have trained thousands of volunteers to become citizen journalists. We have brought you tens of thousands of critical interviews, bringing you the news and information you're not supposed to know. We have given away thousands of pairs of tickets to live concerts and lectures. We have had thousands of bands come in and perform for you live. Now, could you take one moment and maybe start a monthly deduction for $5 a month so that we can send you a copy of Lords of Secrecy by Scott Horton? You can call us up at 877-500-5266. Of course, since one out of every 10 of you are supporting KBOO, my guess is that many of you have never seen your community radio station, and we certainly invite you to come down and take a look around. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, just a half a block south of Burnside, and we'd love to give you a tour and get you involved, because the studies show that the more we can attract your attention, the more willing you are to be a part of it, to show your support, to stand up and be counted. Again, the dollar value is not the primary concern. It is adding more people to the membership rolls, making sure that you're tuning in and sharing this information with friends and family, because without it, then we have lost a serious voice in the wilderness, a beacon for truth and real information that you're not supposed to know. And that's why we ask you to pick up the phone and call us toll-free, 877-500-5266. It's a labor of love from our side. Liz is volunteering her time right now. Sam in the air room is volunteering his time right now. We have hundreds of volunteers coming in and out. They're working on tonight's news. They're editing interviews to air later today and for special programming during the membership drive. How much is that worth to you? Put a price on it. You get to decide. They said we couldn't just give away our signature product and invite you then to put a price on it when it came time for the bill. And
who said
in fact,
that?
Well, somebody said it somewhere.
Well,
but
they were
now,
wrong.
Well, we're getting nigh on 50 years, and here we are. And we are so grateful to all who have made it possible thus far. But as Liz was saying earlier, let's add more to the pot. Let's sweeten that pot and get you involved. 877 500-KBOO.
I want to throw another number out at you. Our yearly expenses for fiscal year 2015 are $771,000. Now, we are not asking you for that amount. That breaks down to $2,112 per day, or $88 an hour, 24/7, 365 days a year, to run the station. Now, we are not asking you to contribute even an hour's worth of running of the station. My point is, Justin, is that we are not giving you a specific number and saying you must contribute at this amount. What we are asking is that you show your support at whatever financial amount is comfortable and available to you at this time. And we do encourage you to think about doing a monthly deduction, because that's a really easy and painless way to give without even noticing. $5 a month is generally not a hardship for most of us, even those of us like me who are freelance artists and creatives and all that great stuff that Portlandia thinks is so awesome, and yet we starve and try to struggle to make the mortgage. 877-500-5266. Think about what KBOO means to you, put a price on it, and then pick up that phone right now. We are so close to making our goal. We just need a few more of you to pick up the phone or go to our website at kboo.fm and show your support for KBOO's programming, for KBOO Community Radio, for the resource that you've come to rely on and that you want to keep us on the air yet another 47 years.
I still got a few copies of Scott Horton's Lords of Secrecy, and this looks like one of the most important books to come down the pike in quite some time. And in fact, we're getting a lot of really good media about this. Recently, I watched Citizen 4, which is the story of Edward Snowden's debrief in the Hong Kong hotel room. This was very valuable to me. We watched Kill the Messenger, and now we're going to add this Scott Horton book to your library, Lords of Secrecy. So call right now, 877-500-5266.
Late breaking news flash. We only need $110 to make our goal. That's like two of you right now at the $60 level, four of you at the, I don't know, any level at all. Pick up the phone, 877-500-5266 right now. Thank you.
Scott Horton, is there anything you'd like to add or something we haven't mentioned that you think is important to say?
I would just come back and say, in the end of the day, this is really about our claim to be a democracy, because if we don't have an informed public that's engaged in discussions of national security issues where the people are making these decisions through our democratic process, then we've ceased to be a democracy. We've become something else. And I think there are a lot of people who look at the situation in the United States today and say, we may be looking at the twilight of democracy.
Scott Horton, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us and say that I thank you also for the book. Very clear, very easy to understand. I thank you for writing it.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be with you, and good luck.
Okay, thanks. You've been listening to Political Perspectives here on KBOO Portland. My guest has been Scott Horton. His book is Lords of Secrecy, The National Security Elite and America's Stealth Warfare. This is Kathleen Stevenson. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia.
And this is KBOO Portland. The time is 10 o'clock in the a.m. Indeed, coming up soon is Chris Andre with Air Cascadia, followed at 10:15 by Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein, today featuring the Electronic Intifada and correspondent Kevin Pina on Haiti. That is courtesy of our good friends and partners in struggle, KPFA in Berkeley. At 11, the Bike Show brings you news and views of cycling in Portland and beyond. And now, this.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bar Carlo, located at 6433 Southeast Foster, and they serve a bistro-inspired menu, weekend brunch, with vegan and vegetarian options. Lunch was provided by Lair Hill Bistro, located at 2823 Southwest First Avenue.